Let's try it. Amen. Young people, you may not know this little course, but the praise team's going to back me up and help me. Actually, they're going to do it. Amen. It says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Come on, let's do it right now.
Nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like my Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
Well,
ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like my Lord.
Mighty hand clap of praise tonight. There ain't nobody. I said there ain't nobody who can do you like Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Southern, I love that bass in that song. You was getting with it. Praise God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I was not expecting to be in this position tonight. And I was really wanting to hear Brother Gundeman preach. And I didn't like the text that I got. But I am so thankful, Sister Gundeman, that it wasn't what they thought it could have been. And that he is home and he is resting and recuperating. Maybe just overexerted himself. We don't know what took place there, but God knows, and we serve a God who's more than able, amen, to step in there and take care of that need. And as Brother Barrow said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So after receiving the text and got back home, the Lord started dealing with my heart on the way back home already. Just didn't know whether this is going to happen or not. So I wanted to be somewhat prepared, amen, tonight. So once again, it's an honor to be behind this desk. Our pastor is on his way home, so pray continued safe journey there and give honor to him, his family, all honor to the ministry. We have wonderful ministry, as I said, Wednesday evening, amen, in this place. And this is a great church, ladies and gentlemen. This is an absolutely great church. We've got a pastor who loves you and is not afraid to stand behind this desk, and nor any of the ministry that is here, and preach the Word of God. Undiluted. It's right there. It's what God wants us to teach and preach, and he does it. And I'm thankful for a man of God will do that, and ministers that will do that as well, because we need the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need a watered down message. We need the absolute truth, because that is what's going to get you and I from this place to glory. Amen is the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for coming out to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And being in the presence of God. I've said it often, there's no better place to be than in the house of God, here on this earth anyway. Amen. So thankful to be here. Have your Bibles and not keep you standing much longer, but go with me to 2 Peter tonight, verses chapter 3, 8 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 8 through 13. I hear pages rattling. I like it. I still hear rattling. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing them then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Won't that be an awesome place to be? Well, there's nothing but holiness, nothing but righteousness, there's nothing but the presence of an almighty God. There, you don't have to worry about it. There won't be no stress there, Brother Barrow. There won't be none of that junk that weighs us down and drags us down. It's going to be righteousness, amen, in the presence of our God. Amen. With the help of the Lord tonight, and I tell you, pray for me. I need his anointing tonight in this place. And I borrowed a title from a song that my wife used to sing, and she'll not sing it tonight. But she used to sing this song, and maybe I'll get her to do it some other time. Where would you be if Jesus came back 5 minutes ago? Where would you be if Jesus came back 5 minutes ago? Would you pray with me? Mighty God of heaven, Lord, as we come before your throne tonight, so thankful, God, for an opportunity and a privilege, Lord, to minister, Lord God, to this beautiful congregation tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring forth the word, Lord, that you've set upon my heart tonight, God. Lord, move in this house in a mighty special way, God, touching every heart, touching every life. Lord, prepare us, oh God, I pray, Lord, oh God, for that sounding of the trumpet, oh God, that it's soon to come. Oh, Lord, we're longing for it. We're looking forward to it. But, Lord, while you tarry, we're laboring in the fields for you, God, trying to do our best, God, to bring people into the kingdom of God. And we praise you tonight in Jesus' name. You may be seated, Lord, in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm not going to preach anything new into your ears tonight, but just a simple reminder, and maybe there's someone in the house tonight who this will stir your spirit, will stir your soul, and maybe shake you just a little bit and prepare you to be ready, amen, for that trumpet when he sounds to you and I. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 tells you and I that today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's not a year from now, but the Bible declares that today is the day of salvation. We can't afford to wait, we can't afford to put it off any longer, but we have to do it today. We've got to make our calling and election sure today. We cannot afford this last hour that you and I are living in to be playing around on the fringes of the church. You like what it feels like when you're in church, but yet there's something of the world that begins to call you, begins to beckon you, begins to draw you to that outskirts of the church. You may be walking on the fence line that we used to say, the preachers used to say. One side you're just closest to the world as you can get, and on the other side you're as close to the church as you possibly get. I'm telling you, we need to get off the fence and we need to get way into the church tonight. Hallelujah. Quit walking on the fence line and dedicate yourself unto the Lord. I've heard it years ago, other denominations would call us Pentecostals, said, you're so holy, You're so righteous that you're going to overshoot heaven, that you're going to miss it completely. Well, I would rather shoot over the top and land way in the middle of it, or maybe on the back side of it, however big that it may be, than to get to the doors and the Lord say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Oh, I'm going to do my best. The rocket into. But today is the day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow. Don't put it off tomorrow. Do it today. There's water. Amen. We can baptize you tonight in the name of Jesus. There's clothes. There's folks here who will pray for you, who will love you in this place. Amen. Today is a day of salvation. For you and I are not promised tomorrow that we could walk out of this building tonight. And I hate to say it this way, but our number could be up. It could be up. We could pull out on this road out here and somebody could hit us and take us out of this. God forbid that that would happen, but I'm telling you that it could, that we're not promised tomorrow. James says, what is our life? It's nothing more than a vapor. That's all it is, that it's here for just a little while, young people. You think you got your whole lives ahead of you, and I pray that you do. I pray that you can grow up and be old men and women. I hate to say that to you, but that's what happens. I can remember being a teenager and the energy that you had. You could go all day, all night, didn't matter. You never ran out of energy. It's not so today. Something about once you get past that 50 mark, your gas gauge runs out a lot quicker than it used to. And I'm just speaking for myself, and the rest of you can just add to that if you like. But our life's a vapor. It's just here for just a short time, and it vanishes away. I'm 53, soon be 54, and it seems like yesterday I was just a lad running around the farm. Where time goes, I don't know. But I'm thankful that where I'm at right now, that he reached down and rescued my soul and got me on track where I need to be, Brother Bunch, because I was lost and headed to a devil's hell. But God rescued me and he saved me. Amen. Through, may I say, a brother that used to go to this church many years ago was then passed on and went on to be with the Lord. He witnessed to me and showed me the Word of God, and through that, I seen it. God revealed it to me, and I had to have it. And here I am. Made mistakes. As long as I'm in this flesh, I'll probably make more mistakes. But I'm doing my best. We're striving. We're striving together, church. We're striving together. So our life is nothing more than vapor. Here for a little while, then vanishes away. Gone. It's over. We got to be ready. We've got to be ready. That's the bottom line, church. Our earthen vessels, they only last so long, then the time expires on them. And you have two choices. Two choices where you will spend eternity. One choice will be in heaven with your God, with your Savior. If you choose to be obedient to the Word of God, you and live in a good, holy life before Him, then you'll go to heaven and live with Him and be with Him and reign with Him. But if you choose not, then the only other destination that you have is a place called hell, the lake of fire, where you'll spend eternity with wailing, gnashing of teeth, unquenchable fire, that you'll be in continued torment throughout all eternity. There are some places to teach and preach that there's a middle area there. There's a gray area there. If you're just partially good, you can go there. You might end up there and it won't be so bad. Uh-uh. That's not Bible. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. That's it. That's the black and white of it. There's no different, no gray area there. Got your Bibles? Turn with me and bring it up on the screen if you like. Luke chapter 12 and 16. Let me find it here real quick. The parable that Jesus spoke. Luke 12 and 16. And said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? Speaking a parable of this rich farmer who apparently sold his crops and his fields. He did everything just right. Not giving God any acknowledgement of the sunshine or the rain or the just right temperature for his crops to grow or to flourish. So he raises this bumper crop and he looks after he harvests this fruit, this field that he's gotten, and he looks at his barns and he's thinking, wow, what am I going to do with all of this stuff? So he begins to think, and it doesn't take him long to come up with a solution, which is not the right solution, but it is his solution. It's a worldly solution, and he says, this will I do, Brother Bunch. I'm going to tear down my old barns and I'm going to build bigger barns that I will be able to bestow all of my fruits, that I can take my ease and live happily for many years. I can eat, I can drink, I can be merry, and I can just do whatever I want to do, not regarding God one bit, about how God had blessed him and provided for his crop to grow and to produce a massive harvest. It's all about him. It's all about what he could gain in this life. And the Lord speaks to him, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of thee. All of his labor, all of his work, completely in vain. If he would have given God some acknowledgement and thanked him for that harvest, if he would have shared his bounty and given it to the poor or whoever, his neighbors, some of them may have not have had such a good crop and may not have had enough to make it through the year. If he would have just simply would have shared what he had, God wouldn't have called him, his soul, that night. But because he was selfish and greedy. You see, we as human beings can be the same way, that we want to gain all that we can gain. See, there's a scripture that says, what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What is your soul, your eternal soul worth? What kind of a value can you place upon it? Absolutely nothing. So this man, after all of his labors, after tearing down his barns and building new ones, God required his soul. And now he's going to stand before the Lord in judgment because of it. I don't want to stand on that side of judgment. And I don't want any of you all or any of our family to be on that side of judgment. But I want us to be on this side, living and reigning with him in a kingdom that he's built and made with for you and I. Don't be foolish. Today's a day of salvation. Where would you be if Jesus come back 5 minutes ago? Would you be left here? Or would you go on into glory with him? We've got to be ready, church. We must be ready. There's so much stuff out there that's yanking at us and pulling at us and trying to drag us out of the church. And we can't afford that to happen. We've got to be steadfast. We've got to be firm in the Word of God. John 3, chapter 1, I'm sorry, John chapter 3, 1 through 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. I like this. He doesn't even reply to that. Jesus read Nicodemus' life. He knew what he needed to tell him. Jesus simply answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that's born of spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, a chief ruler, one who worked around the temple, knew the law, and he knew there was something more to Jesus than what everybody, those other people were letting on. He knew he had to be from God because no one could do the things that he was doing. And Jesus read him and he knew really the answer that he wanted to ask. Am I living right? Am I doing what I need to be doing to be saved in the end? And Jesus simply told him, you've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. There's no other way, church. There's no other way. There's no other way. We've got to go through baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we're going to even enter in or see the kingdom of heaven, it's your choice. And God gives you and I a choice, but I'm going to pick the choice to live and to reign with him in eternal glory and perfect weather conditions, if I can say it that way, Brother Bunch. It's going to be glorious. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any anguish. There's not going to be any suffering. There'll be no more parting there. It's going to be perfect in heaven. It's going to be perfect in heaven. So Nicodemus was told firsthand from the master what you got to do to be saved. You got to be born again of the water. Brother Barrow hit on just a minute ago when Jesus told them when he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, you need to go into Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued from power from on high. And they went and did as he said. And there that Holy Ghost was poured upon them on the day of Pentecost. We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday just a couple of weeks ago. And remembering that, but we live that. We live that experience in our lives. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You live that each and every day. It should be refreshed and renewed in you every single day of your life. Amen. Because God will lead you and direct you. And He will use you if you allow the Spirit to flow through you. But as they was there in that day of Pentecost, and that sound of that rushing mighty wind blew into that place. Could you imagine what that would have been like to have been there? They were worshiping. They were praising God. They were doing everything that they knew to do. Then all of a sudden, this sound, this rushing mighty wind blows into that place, and fire sets upon each of them. Cloven tongues as fire, and they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. It's noised abroad. These people there on that day of Pentecost and that feast, that celebration, heard them speaking and magnifying God in their own tongues and their own dialect. They were glorifying and magnifying God. They thought they were drunk, but they was not drunk. Drunk on the new wine, if I could say it that way. They weren't drunk. And Peter stands and begins to preach to that congregation that day. And he preached Jesus Christ, Him crucified. That He was the Savior, that He was the supreme sacrifice, that you people, you took Him. And you crucified Him. You nailed Him to an old rugged cross. But He didn't leave Him there. He said, this is the same Jesus. He rose again that third day. And He quoted the prophet. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. And He did that. And He preached to that congregation, that multitude. It's hard telling how many thousands, Brother Bunch, was gathered in Jerusalem that day, celebrating this feast. We do know the outcome of the number. After He preached that bold message, He stood up in the midst of all those disciples and proclaimed the mighty name of Jesus Christ to that congregation, to that crowd that day. And the Bible says that their hearts were pricked within them. Good old-fashioned conviction. We need good old-fashioned convictions. Amen. This world is lacking good old-fashioned convictions. They've been lulled to sleep way too long. And Hollywood is made hell like a vacation spot. That there's nothing to it anymore. That it's just another day. And there won't be no problem at all, but it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a place of torment, of anguish, of pain. It's a place of judgment. It's a place where the worm dieth not. That's your soul. It will never die in an unquenchable flame. So they were pricked in their hearts. And they asked, what must we do to be saved? You've heard it a million times. Peter said, you've got to repent. That's what you got to do first. You've got to repent. You've got to get those sins forgiven. You've got to ask the Lord to remove those sins. And he says, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's as easy three steps that you'll ever do that will get you started on the road to heaven. Amen. Then the preacher will preach and he will teach holiness and what you need to do and how you need to live according to the Word of God. And through that, you're going to make it to heaven. But you got to start off here. You've got to repent and you've got to be baptized. Everyone, he said, not just some, but everyone in the name of Jesus. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 tells us it's a promise unto you and to your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. It's for everyone. It wasn't just for the 120. It just isn't for you and I tonight. But it's for every human being that was ever born on this land. That none, everybody say none, that none should perish. None, zero, zilch, should perish, but all to everlasting life. And it starts, it can start here at an old-fashioned altar. You can start at your seat tonight. It doesn't matter where you make an altar, where you decide to turn your life over to God, where you decide to say, God, I'm sorry for the way that I've been living this life. And I don't want to be this person anymore. And I'm going to turn from this way. And I'm going to do a 180-degree turn, and I'm going to walk, God, according to your statutes, according to your commandments. And I want to live for you and do what you'd have me to be and do. And once you've repented, it just takes a few moments of time to repent. Warm water, I'm sure it's warm in the Brother Barrow. Jump in there and see. No, I don't. But I'm sure it's warm. It wasn't warm when I got baptized, I can assure you that. And probably 90% of you in this building can say the same thing. But you know what? If I recollect, it was just a moment feeling of that water being cold, because I knew there was such a dire need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I didn't care if they had to break the ice on that baptismal tank, which they didn't, thank God. But it wouldn't have mattered. I knew the urgency that I had to be baptized that very moment. And I was. And thank God for it. And thank God for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I didn't get it coming out of the water like some do. It was a month or so later down the road, but God still filled me with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, church, and I'm going to remind you tonight, that when that trumpet sounds, unless you are blood-bought, you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, unless you've not repented of your sins, if you've not been baptized, you've not received the Holy Ghost, when that trumpet sounds, you're not going to go anywhere. But if you have, gravity will let loose of your body. And the Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be with Him in heaven. And to ever reign with the Lord. Amen. I know probably maybe 100% of you tonight already experienced this message that I've preached tonight. But if you have not, and if you're still dancing around the edges, around the fringes, I'm going to encourage you tonight to move in. Get off of the fence line. Get away from the world, run from the world, and run to the church. Run into the arms of an almighty God, a loving Savior, one who will care for you, one who will nurture you and save your soul. Music, would you come tonight? Church, would you stand? There's an urgency in the air that Jesus is getting ready to come back for His bride. And we need to be where we need to be in the Lord. If there's anything that's in the way, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Remove it. Get it out of there. Put it under the blood. Whatever it may be. And when we're right with our God, and the body of Christ can can I put it this way? Hitting on all cylinders. You're going to be amazed at what God's going to do in this place. I called a friend of mine today. This may sound carnal, but hold on just a little bit. Called a friend today and ordered a tune-up kit for my tractor. Back in the spring when I was hauling maple sap up the road and pulling 300 gallon of water up the hill. And you get under a heavy load, it began to miss and cut out a little bit. And so I thought, well, now would be a good time to put some new plugs, some new points in it, new condenser, and rotor cap, rotor, and like, check, here we go. He's ordered some parts. I'm supposed to get them tomorrow evening. And sometimes we just need a tune-up. Sometimes we just need to find a place to pray. Get our plugs cleaned, if I can say it that way. File the points. Get them cleaned up. Because, folks, there's some things getting ready to come down the road. Because possibly some severe persecution into the church. And if you're not hitting on all cylinders, there's had to be a heavy load that gets upon you, and you start to cut out and begin to miss a little bit. You're losing power. And these last days, church, we're going to need all the power we can get. God never cuts out. His Spirit still remains all powerful. But ourselves, sometimes they get weak. Sometimes they get burdened down. And we need a tune-up. Need a good tune-up. We need a good carburation cleaning. Find you a place to pray tonight. Talk to the Lord. Get refreshed under a fresh anointing of God. Pray until you pray through, until you speak in a heavenly language tonight. And allow God to minister into your heart and to your life. Revival is here. Revival is coming. Brother Barrow, I'm just going to believe tonight for this 60% by faith. I believe God wants 100%, but we'll take what He gives us. Search your heart and pray till the power comes down into your life tonight.
Thank you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Captured me with grace, and I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where
pray for our pastor, which should be near home. Also continue to pray for Brother Gundelman. God's quick recovery there in that need tonight, and many of the other needs in this house tonight that God knows about. Amen. I'm going to pray in dismissal tonight. Thank you all for coming, worshiping your God tonight, loving Him. For your obedience to the Word this evening. As we pray and dismiss on this, when we leave tonight, throughout this week, just continue to pray. God, lead me. Lead me to a soul. Lead me to a soul. Open a door. And give me compassion. And let me show love to someone and to share Jesus with. We got a city that needs to be saved. We've got family that we want to see saved. We got loved ones or are outside of the ark of safety that we want to see them brought back in. And as we pray this week and we seek the face of God and ask Him for direction and pray through every day if possible, keep that spirit alive and flowing and moving in your life. Amen. We're going to see great things. We're going to see revival. We're going to see a move of God like you've never seen before. But the church has to be ready. We've got to be ready to receive the multitudes. And when we're ready, God will give them. You see, on that day when Peter preached that there was 3,000 souls born into the kingdom of God, and then the Bible said that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So as the church grows and moves in the Lord, and we get strengthened and we get stronger in Him, He adds daily to the church as we're able to handle them and take care of them and tend to them. And if we're not where we need to be, then how are we going to be able to tend to others that's coming in who's going to need our love and our strength and our support? Amen. As they're being delivered from alcohol or nicotine or drugs or whatever it may be that's out there, they're going to need a body of believers that's not going to be afraid to wrap their arms around them and say, it's all going to be okay, and love them. And that's what the Lord's looking for. But we've got to be on fire for God to be able to be ready for that move. I'm excited. I know God's going to bust this place wide open, that there's no possible way this building is going to be able to contain the multitude that God desires to be saved here in Ellisville and the surrounding area. I could ramble on all night, I think, but I'm going to quit. But I want to pray. Pray over this congregation. I want you to pray for one another tonight, that God would use you. Amen. Let's pray right now. Mighty God of heaven, Lord, as I pray over this wonderful congregation tonight of brothers and sisters of like faith tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you just move upon their lives, God, that you would strengthen them, God, you would encourage each and every one, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them, Lord, as they seek your face, Lord, and they seek direction, and Lord, and lead us, God, to hungry souls, Lord, open doors, God, Lord, that we can step through, and don't allow us to be intimidated or afraid to step through these doors that you open, God, but to go through them, Lord, and God, to see souls born into the kingdom. Oh, Lord, strengthen my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Use each one of us, Lord, as a tool, as an instrument for your kingdom, that it would flourish and that it would prosper. Amen. Go in peace tonight in that wonderful name of Jesus. Shake hands, be friendly, would you?